he needs is for us to surrender ourselves, to offer ourselves over. If we give him ourselves, he'll give back everything that he is. If we give ourselves partially to him, we'll get back partially. You say, well, God's withholding. No, no. It's just that we determine how much of God that we walk into. We determine. And fasting is one of those ways. And so when you mention the word fasting, everybody has a different idea. And so we began several years ago at the Prayer Center Family in Tulsa. We began to, instead of push intensely the 40-day fast, which some of us each January had entered into, and that is possible, by the way, and you say, and let me just go ahead and correct some things. You say, well, I'm on medication. I'm under a doctor's care. I can't fast. You go to your doctor and you say, am I okay up there? You go to your doctor and you say, I'm going to do some fasting because it's a spiritual thing and I believe in it and I'm going to do some fasting. Oh, no, you can't do it, John Doe. You can't do any fasting as you're on this medication. You tell me how I can go ahead under this medication and begin to fast. Now, the doctors call me a diabetic. I don't. I call me healed, Nat. They call me a diabetic, but I call me healed, and so I'm going to fast anyhow. I know what to do. I know how to fast and still maintain through the Spirit of God and through him teaching me and guiding me, I know what to do and not interrupt anything spiritual. See, the devil, he would like to take any circumstance or anything that he can and interrupt something spiritual that God has. And most people, when you mention fasting, one of the things they think, well, it's just a bodily thing. And I've heard preachers teach on it in such a way that even though they probably didn't mean it, what they portrayed is that it was totally a physical thing. It's not a physical thing. It is, you approach it in the physical realm, but it's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And we're going to look at that in the next few weeks. We're going to establish in the Word of God that this is a spiritual thing. It's not totally a natural thing. Even though it's something you do in the natural realm, it has spiritual results. But fasting is a spiritual thing. And we can see that in the Word of God, and we'll be looking at that. But I want to take a different approach. You say, well, if you preach this last year at this time, then I can get the tapes and I'll just miss these services on fasting. I wouldn't count on that. I wouldn't count on that. For instance, today we're going to start a different direction with fasting than I've ever started before because this is what he told me to do. See, folks, sometimes some of you don't understand, you know. There's certain guidelines that he gives me that I have to go by, and then other things I have to listen. For instance, some people say, well, why don't you have in such and such as a guest speaker? I will when he speaks to me. See, I want to have Michael Kelly in at the church here sometime this year. I preferred, you know, in January or February, but I don't know. He hasn't released me to go that direction yet. But one thing I like about Michael, some of you have heard maybe that Michael took some time off from the Prayer Center to do some extreme fasting and prayer to correct some things in his life. Praise God for somebody that recognizes stuff like that and will take those steps and initiative without being prodded into it. And so there's going to come a time that I'm going to bring him in here. But I have to hear what God wants to do at a certain point. And there's not anything much you can do about that except pray. You know, I tell people, you want to hear a certain person, then you need to pray and believe God that God will speak to me and that I can't hear God occasionally, by the way. So just pray and God will speak to me about bringing that certain person in. I'll be open to it. Now, sometimes, you know, people think, well, you need to do things the way they've done it in the past. No, not necessarily. For one thing, some of those people that the church supported in the past, I haven't heard one word from them. Now, what makes you think I should go ahead and follow that track? So I have to hear the Holy Spirit on what he wants to do. Well, he spoke to me yesterday. He said, I want you to take it, last night actually, I want you to take a different route, and we're going to start a little different direction because there's some problems that have developed concerning the fasting message, even in the people that are around you. So I said, okay, what are we going to do? So he began to lay it out for me. So today, We're going to, usually in the past, I've ended up on the natural aspects to begin to, at the end. We're going to start the fasting message with the natural aspects first. Because if you want to join in with us to do a little bit of fasting along the way, or a lot of it, whatever, you're going to need to know the natural aspects. And if you don't know them, then it's going to be tough on you. You might even get sick or something. I don't want to be responsible for that, even though really usually when someone gets sick or something in fasting, it's out of ignorance for the most part. But anyhow, we're going to take that route. But first of all, let's start in Isaiah 58. Because there's got to be a reason to fast, and you've got to establish that as you go. You know, why fast? You know, why should we fast? We're going to establish a little bit of that this morning. Then we're going to move over into the natural realm and cover some of that. But in Isaiah chapter 58, and let me get a drink of water, something used a lot in fasting. Right, Cindy? And if you don't, then it's ignorance. Right, Cindy? All right, Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness? Okay? What fast? What does fast do? What is the fast that he has chosen? First of all, you've got to understand that Isaiah 58 is the fast that Jesus done in Matthew chapter 4. That's what's established in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4 didn't exist when Jesus was here. It was in the process of being written through the Holy Spirit. So Isaiah 58 established Matthew chapter 4. Someone here, you have a ringing in your ear. You're going to be healed today, set free of that. You'll just go ahead and begin to receive it before the service is over. You'll be free of it. Isaiah 58, 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, if I can talk today. Okay, so we establish here, first of all, right away, that it looses the bonds of wickedness. Oh boy, I'm going to get those bonds on those people. My enemies out there that are always treating me ugly and stabbing me in the back, you know, I'm going to get them set free. I'm going to loose these bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burden. Oh boy, I'm going to get to undo those heavy burdens that all of my relatives and all my family members and all my friends carry around. To let the oppressed go free. Oh boy, I'm going to get the oppressed free out there in this world. Well, I'm going to be a mighty faith-moving preacher that's going to get the oppressed set free. And that you break every yoke. Oh boy, I'm going to get to break every yoke out there. On every person, there's not one person walking around that won't have the yoke broke in their life. And I am warming up already. So, anyhow, that's what it looks like to you. And that's partially it, but it's not the truth. Okay, it is not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Now, I would take this section of verses, and I would highlight what I've read, but I would especially circle, highlight, put asterisks around, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Now, here's basically what he's saying in reality. This is the truth. If you want the truth out of this word, and you say, well, how do I know it? Well, you've got the Holy Spirit like I do, so meditate it out and ask him if I'm giving you the truth. I wouldn't think too much of you or respect you if you didn't. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? This is the fast that I've chosen. To loose the bonds of wickedness on myself as I fast. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To undo the heavy burdens that burden me down and keep me from serving the Lord God. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To let the oppressed go free. What oppressed? Myself. The areas that I'm oppressed. You say, well, I don't believe I'm oppressed. If you're not walking in the fullness of the inheritance that's been given to you, you're a little oppressed. You're falling a little short. I'm falling a little short because I'm not walking in the fullness of his power and anointing that he intends for a miracle-type ministry to be walking in. So therefore, there's some areas that I'm oppressed in. And then we could take that down to the family unit the same way. If the family unit is not walking in the ministry that's been called and everybody's not in their place, everybody's not in the fullness of the inheritance within that family unit, then there's some areas that are oppressed and that he wants to set free. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him. Well, let's just look at that this way. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, no matter what condition they're in? No, the outreach at the prayer center, they go down to the homeless shelters and the people that live under the bridges, and, you know, and they bring them in on a Sunday morning. And then, let's see, I think that's every Sunday. And then, I need to get this right. But anyway, let's go with every Sunday. And then they go down there once a month. I should know because I went down there for a year. But anyhow, time, you know, passes. But, okay, now, they'll come every Sunday. They'll bus them in. They'll send down two or three buses. I think three now, I believe. But anyhow, they send out the buses to go and pick them up at the homeless shelters. Well, you know, they get all types of people in there. All different stages. We can't even say stages of spiritual growth. How about just stages of life and death? All different type of clothing, all different type of smells. And all these people are brought into this sanctuary and this auditorium, and most of them all they scatter a few of them out, but most of them sit in a certain section. Well, the first thing I began to notice was that people that were sitting in this certain section right here, that the outreach brought in the people off the streets into, these people that were sitting there, all of a sudden they moved to the other side of the auditorium. Okay, he says, when you see the naked, okay, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? So they feed them every Sunday, and then they go down there once a month at one of the homeless shelters, and they preach to them and feed them there. And the rest of the time they bust them in each Sunday, and they feed them there at the prayer center. See, you got to understand, you know, we've held this sanctuary in this building all across the United States. We've held this building in high esteem when actually this building is designed to serve the people, not the preacher. And so they'll bring them in and set them down, and then they go through the service and then, you know, pray for everybody who needs prayer. And many of them get set free. Some of them come screaming and, you know, climbing in a claw, and, you know, these devils come out and stuff like that. Something's always going on. I mean, you know, the pastor can be up there preaching, and somebody be vomiting over on the corner, or somebody else be screaming and throwing a fit because the demon manifests. Anything can happen. You ought to see it. It's quite hilarious at times. You ought to be head usher. And somebody come up and cuss you out. You have to stand there and take it until you get a chance to cast the devil out of them. Or somebody come up trying to fight you and stuff like that. But see, they'll sit there and all of a sudden you'll see people move. Well, these people are denying something inside themselves, saying that they're better than these others. They don't realize it at times. Oh, you'll hear all kinds of excuses. Well, I don't want to sit over there because it smells over there. Or I don't want to sit over there because there's too much noise and I can't hear the message, I can't concentrate. When actually it's themselves that are at fault and something wrong inside them, not the people that they're around. You say, why do you say that? It says it right here. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Every yoke of what? Every yoke on your life. You doing the fasting. Break every yoke on your life that you can do what God wants you to do and that He can use you. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Instead of feeding yourself all the time, how about those that are hungry and in need of food? Well, we started doing that a little bit here. We're going to do it more in the future. It takes time to get some of these things implemented. You want to do it overnight, but you can't do it. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. Many times the whole goal of the outreach at Tulsa is to go down on the streets and in the homeless shelter and not just feed them and not just witness and preach to them, but eventually get them back on their feet with a job in their own apartment. That's the goal. Now, they don't always accomplish. God doesn't always get what He wants. Contrary to your faith talk and your faith belief, He doesn't always get what He wants because of people being involved. But that's what He wants. It's for them to be back in society, free of the yoke on themselves, and back in that flow where they're supposed to be. All it is the devil has had a heyday in their life. All of them with different, you know, drugs, whatever, you know, loss of lives, so forth. But he says that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked that you cover them, well, they supply shoes all the time. They've got other clothes too, but I notice for the most part it's always shoes, especially this time of year, because all the homeless people, you know, they're stealing each other's shoes, and, you know, and this and that. So they use a lot of money for shoes. And not hide yourself from your own flesh. What do you think was happening to those people as they began to move to the other side of the auditorium? In these areas somewhere, they were hiding themselves from their own flesh, what was inside themselves. Now, I'm just pointing this out. They didn't think so. And they might have not have known it, although probably if you stay under the anointing very long, you'd have the faith. It says that you not hide yourself from your own flesh. This is the fast that I've chosen, that you break these things off your life. You, the one that's doing the fasting, this is the fast that I've chosen, that you not hide yourself from your own flesh, that you meet your flesh head on. Whatever is in there, whatever's in your soul, whatever's in your body, whatever's in your flesh that keeps you from meeting the will of God and the Word of God, whatever it is in there, that's the fast that I've chosen, that you break this off your life and meet it head on. We're going to stop as far as the spiritual side right there, in a way. I'm not going to read anymore, although there's a lot more to it. That you meet yourself head on. What is it that you need to meet head on? You know, folks, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. And I've had all kinds of reports, you know, and one person, you know, well, my family's not going because you try to control their lives. Folks, I'm not out to control anybody's life contrary to rumor. I'm not trying to do that. I'm giving you a choice. You make the choice. I don't make it for you. I present the truth in the Word of God. You make the choice whether you want to go that route or not. Now, let me give you an illustration. Jesus had Judas through the whole 3 years. He had Judas. He didn't try to control Judas's life. He could have said, "You're not going to go and betray me. This very day your life is required of you. You're not going to go control me." No. He took him along the way, presented every example, set out every example, every truth. Judas got to see what all the other disciples seen. It wasn't like Judas was over here in a closet hiding himself, and the rest of the disciples were seeing all these miracles, seeing the Son of God at work, seeing the power of God flow, seeing all the miracles, all the life-changing things were going on. No, he was right there with the rest of them. Judas made a choice. Jesus didn't try to force him. He didn't try to control his life. He set the truth. He set the example. He said, "Here it is. You can make a choice." Judas made a choice. "I'm going to betray the Son of God." He said, "Well, that's an awful tough example to use on people." Well, maybe, but the thing is that you get to make a choice. And people say, "Well, you're controlling my life." No, I'm not. If I'm controlling your life, then you're letting me. To be quite honest, some of you need your life controlled. But I'm still not going to control it. Even if you need it, I'm not going to control it. You get to make the choice of what you do with what you get at this church. Now just, you know, when people turn and run is when the pressure gets great, or think you can't control the pastor, you can't control what he does or what he does in a church, and you turn and you go to another church or another place, when you know in your heart you're supposed to be right here. You're turning and running. Who are you running from? "I'm running from the pastor and him trying to control me." No, you're running from your own life. You're refusing to meet your flesh. You're turning away from the thing. Now, flesh here, what he means by flesh when he says that, he really means things in your soul and in your emotions. That's part of your flesh. He considers that part of your flesh. It's not just the flesh, like lust and so forth. It's also things of the soul, the emotional realm. You're turning and running from bitterness. You're turning and running from rejection. You're turning and running from being molested when you were a child. You're letting that soul tie, that, that anchor in your soul, you're turning and running from. You're not meeting the flesh. You're turning away from the things in the flesh that control you and dictate your life. And that's what he's saying. This is the fast that I've chosen, that it loose these bonds and destroy these yokes, and that you not, because of this fast and through this fast and because of this fast, not hide yourself from your own, the things of your own flesh, your soul realm, every part of it. See, a fast is spiritual. It'll even help you get rid of filthiness of the spirit, which is false doctrine. It'll bring your... Let me tell you two things that it really destroys. I can tell you because first-hand experience is really good. Two things that it destroys big time. I mean, you can underline several times. Ego and self-exaltation. I mean, you say, well, why and how? Why do you say it? Because when you fast, you go into a humble mode. When you start to deny the thing that has controlled your life for 40, 50 years like I have, whenever you go and you go after something like that has controlled and dictated your life for 40-some years, exaltation comes down. Ego comes down. It's a time of humble. Now, you may not start out that way. And you may go through two or three before it actually breaks. But believe me, when you go into a denying of the flesh through food, a humbling does begin. Doesn't it, Cindy? I'm not saying she's self-exalted. She's a long ways from self-exalted. But there were things in her that were anchoring there, you know, big-time anger. And she's gotten rid of most of that. She's headed on to other things. She's nailed that baby. See, that's controlled her most of her life, and so she began to go on these long fastings. Well, you began to get humble about that anger. You once exalted that anger above everything that God had. Now all of a sudden you're denying that anger access to your soul, to your flesh. You're denying it. And so a humbling begins when you begin to fast. And that's one thing it'll nail is self-exaltation, self-centeredness, ego, that type of thing. It'll nail it big time. I've heard preachers say, well, if you want to get rid of that lust for women and wine and song and all that other stuff in your life, just start fasting. Let me tell you something. Self-exaltation and ego fall whenever you do much fasting. It may not the first time, but eventually if you keep after it, it will fall. You got to recognize it first. You know, and I hear a lot of things. And like I said, I'm not trying to control anybody's life. I'm just presenting the truth. Now, I won't agree with something that I know is not true. And you know, so you say, well, you're picking on me. No, I'm not. I'm just not going to agree with untruth. If you say something to me or you say something to somebody else that doesn't line up with the Word of God, I'm not going to agree with it. Because if I do, just to keep your tithe checked, then I'm just going to be like every other preacher in town. And I don't even know the preachers in town. But I know how they are mostly throughout the United States and overseas. I mean, we spent, I don't know, probably $50 or $60 last night taking care of things overseas. I know how preachers are. She done me wrong. She done this, she done that, she done me wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's going the wrong direction. Pray for his life. He's going the wrong direction. You're both wrong. Shut up and sit down. And you keep everything intact so you can take people and go back to Peru and win lives. The only reason for going is to more souls in heaven. And you say, well, how can you honor that person and go ahead and let her set up the crusades? You know why? Because I want to save lives. Jesus wants to save lives. And he'll even let Judas run the route and be with the other disciples in that lives be changed. And that he set an example for others that are to come in the future. How can you do that? He's self-exalting and you're being, let him be a part of that over there in Peru. How can you do that? Because I want more lives saved. Main objective. Never lose sight of the objective, serving God. A servant is a servant. We talked about that Friday night. A servant means, go get me my food. I don't sound like it, but you're a servant. Okay, I'll go get it. That's a servant. Go brush down the oxen. I'm sick at my stomach. I don't have time because of my other job. I thought you were a servant. Okay, I'll go do that. That's a servant. Usually one that doesn't ask questions. The master says, do this, they go. Do this, they go. Do that, they go. That's a servant. Never lose sight of what this is all about. A servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that his will be accomplished here on earth. Never lose sight. And so then whenever you have this self-exaltation and ego and stuff, well, it begins that humbling process. Well, you begin to put it in its place, and it's one of the main things that fasting will destroy. But there's other things. Strife. Division, because what are they? They exalt themselves. See, they exalt. My feelings. Pastor, I'm leaving because my feelings are hurt. I didn't take your message right. I think it's wrong. So therefore, I'm leaving. I'm exalting how my flesh and my emotions feel over what God wants in my life. Now, if you're not supposed to be in this church, you know, and God has spoken to you, that I want you somewhere else, and you need to get out of here. But if he called you to this church to begin with, let me tell you something, he hasn't changed the plan. He has a plan for this church and the people that were in it. They decided to leave. I want them back here because God wants to complete something in their life, but I can't make them. Because that would be controlling their life if I could do that, which I can't. You guys, some of you giving me more credit than I deserve. He's controlling my life. Don't give me that credit. I ain't that powerful. Anyhow, so we started talking about last week the family unit and adjustments in our lives, and these things like fasting are to go ahead and head that direction on adjustments. In your life, your personal life, your family life, and then it ends up corporately because you decided individually to do something about it. Then everybody, you know, you got 100-member congregation, whatever, doesn't matter the amount, and each one individually decides to make these adjustments or take that route of adjustments, then corporately it's okay, see, because each one decided to make these adjustments in their lives. And so I believe that the year 2000 is pretty special, all right. It's special in that we're going to make adjustments in our life down on the family level, even in the prayer time. Well, I think, you know, job's more important than prayer. No, prayer probably got you that job. How can the job be more important if the prayer got you the job? You know, and I've heard all kinds of excuses about prayer, you know, and you can't convince me, you know, because I've already been there before I was preaching full-time, before we ever got started in the ministry. I was spending 6 and 8 hours of prayer a day at times, and still the job that I had was head of a property management company, and the hours in it was anywhere from 8 to 12 every day. You know, I need to go see these units. I need to meet with you about this, and the only time I can do it is 9 o'clock tonight. So you have to drop everything and go do it. Now, you've got to work out some prayer time. You can't have much excuse there. You know, you've got to find some way to begin that prayer time. Well, I would. Sometimes, you know, Shelly can tell you, I'm not lying about this. Sometimes I'd pray all night and the next morning get up and go to the office. You know, sleep an hour maybe, you know, or not even sleep. You know, go take a shower and go to the office back in. Did you pray at the office? Yeah. Yeah, I did, and I believe that you should pray at your job, and I believe that you should pray in your car, but at some point, you're going to pray yourself into a place of intimacy with God, and then it ain't going to be good enough. Gary Carpenter's a good example. Gary Carpenter, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week in the cab of a truck, but there came a day that wasn't good enough. It was okay to begin with, and it was a good start. There was nothing wrong with it, folks. Don't take me wrong. there was nothing wrong with, but he will tell you there came a day that it wasn't good enough. And he disobeyed God, and he disobeyed God, and he disobeyed God, and then disobeyed God. And then pretty soon the grace ran out, and he almost died because of it. That's part of his testimony that most of you haven't got to hear. But he started out 8 hours a day in the truck while he was driving. But there came a day that that wasn't good enough. There'll come a day that you'll pray yourself into a place that those things aren't good enough. That's called accountability. And then God says, I need a little more of your time. You say, well, I'm given 8 hours a day in the truck. No, I mean I need a little more of your time. I need a little more personal between you and I without the truck in the place. There comes that time. But you start out where you start out. And, you know, making excuses for not praying, you'll continue on the rest of your life making excuses. Well, I'm going to get it through knowing people. No, you're not. You're fooling yourself. Been people doing it 10 years or so, and they still ain't any more, were any farther along than what they ever were because they depended on man. They depended on other people. It doesn't work that way. God is your source. God is your exaltation. Be faithful in the small things. He exalts you to more things. What's the small thing? Prayer is a small thing. He's talking about fasting, meditating the Word of God, worship. They're major things, but he's saying, be faithful in these things that I can exalt you on the bigger things. See, you start out at a certain place, folks, he doesn't want you to stay right there. He's got a plan for us. He wants to move us up more. He doesn't want us to stay right there, but we've got to give him the authority to do so. Because of his word, if we don't give him the authority to exalt us into another place, he can't do it. You give him the authority to do something and he'll do it. But if you withhold that authority, he can't do it because of his word. His hands are tied. He's a man that shall not lie. His word is truth and he'll not go back on his word. Will he make an exception for me and his word? No. No, he won't. Well, I think that the Bible says, I don't care what you think and God doesn't care what you think. His word is his word. Truth is truth. And so we move farther and we do these things and grow into these things by giving him the authority. And so when we begin a life of fasting, then that is beginning to give him the authority. Now on the natural side, if you don't feel that you can do much fasting, now some will say, well, I can't, you know, they'll use job for everything. I can't do much fasting because of my job. All I know is this, is that as a property manager, there were many times that I went on extended fast, 40 days, whatever, but that doesn't matter. What I'm saying is there's no excuse. And you say, well, that was an office job that you had. Okay, all right, I'll agree with you. I'll go with you. Then Pastor Dave, he worked in Oregon in a lumber mill. They handled 2x4s, 2x6s, and 2x8s, and 2x12s all day long, stacked them off the lathe. And fasted on water for 40 days. He's not dead. He's alive. He's breathing. And he gains weight like I did. So there's really not an excuse. You can say, well, my doctor, you know. Well, if you wanted to fast bad enough, you'll find a way. If you want the power of God bad enough, you'll find a way. See, what he's talking about in Isaiah 58 is that the power increase in your own life to break these bonds in your own life, and therefore, then because you met the flesh, then Jesus is able to use you to meet the bonds on other people and get them broken and supply the anointing and power to get it done. So, fasting, yes, it'll bring you face to face with your flesh. On the other side of it, it's resurrection power, so therefore then the anointing increases. Now some, I'm going to kill something right now, because if not, I'm going to have a problem. Some will say, well, I fasted 30 days, I fasted 10 days, I fasted a month, I fasted 40 days, but I can't tell there's any increase in power. Well, your motive, first of all, was wrong. The power is a side benefit. I want more power. Yes, I know you do. I do too. I'm hungry for more power because I don't like my life. I don't like where it's at. So I want more. So my intention is to go after God that I have more. And one of the areas I'm going to go after Him and use is the area of fasting. Well, I didn't get it the first time. So you keep going until it comes. Well, it didn't come as quick. Well, I'm sorry, then maybe you're in worse shape. See, that's a part of facing your flesh. Admitting that maybe I need a little more. See. Well, I've heard about this fasting and prayer in the past. Yeah, I know you have, but have you applied it? I knew about Jesus and God before I confessed Him as Lord and Savior, and I wasn't saved and I wasn't going to heaven until I confessed Him as Lord and Savior. Well, I know about fasting and prayer. Yeah, have you done any? And if so, have you done very much substantial? In other words, I'm saying this. You can't just know about it. You've got to apply it. Well, some will say, well, I don't know whether I can do that 30-day or 40-day. Good, no problem. Several years ago, the first center, we began to teach people, instead of going into the long extended fast, we began to start doing what we called, what we labeled as serious fasting. Because we felt like that if we could get them going 3 days a week for a while, or 5 days a week, whatever, if we could begin to get them in a certain pattern, then their pattern in their life within their family unit would change. And one thing would lead to another step by step. So we began to tell people, okay, you don't think you can do it? Can you possibly go for 1 day, 24 hours? Well, I think I might. If we put a padlock on the refrigerator, I think I can. And if I keep the car from turning into Sonic, I believe I can do it. So we'd say, okay, go for 24 hours and then eat the next 24 hours, your meals. Try to keep it salads and soups, whatever, something like that. And go for 24 hours of the eating process, and then go back into another 24 hours of fasting, missing all the meals, nothing but water, maybe a little bit of juice or something, because your system is not the greatest in the world, but you know these things. Well, I'm a health nut. You still got that problem. It has to be cleaned out. And so then we begin to get them to do that, and then we say, okay, all right, now that you've done that for a while, begin to go 2 and 3 days at a time. How about 3 days of fasting and 2 of your regular eating period? And then 3 days of fasting and 2 of your regular eating, and on and on and on. And then how about this? How about 5 days of fasting and 3 days off for your eating, salad, stuff like that? All right, then that began to bring them into a place that God could begin to work in their life and bring them into a 10, 15, 2 week, three week, 21-day fast. Began to work. See, they began to step by step go into this. Now, the reason is, like I said, it's hiding yourself from your flesh. You can't do it in emotional strongholds because of a big problem. Here's another problem. It's like I said, our bodies are a sewer. This drainage that I have this morning into my throat can be cured by some fasting. How do you know that? Because that's what it's taken in the past. This mucus and stuff that's in this drainage is caused by the breads, things that we eat. And so you begin to clean up your system. So I tell people, okay, you're going to start trying to do some fasting. For the next week, try your best to eat nothing but salads. Things that will kind of clean up your system a little bit. It'll make it easier. Now, you could just go ahead and start, no problem. But it'll just make it easier on you. See, it's not the headaches that you get the first 2 or 3 days or throughout the fast. It's not from lack of food. It's because of toxins in your body. Now, David over there, he has a little problem he's got to deal with, but he's going to get out of it. Because I've seen people like him before they got out of it, so he'll get out of it. He's got a little problem. He had some of these things called, what was it, heroin? LSD? Both? All of it? For several years. So it pocketed up, alcohol. Pockets up in your muscle tissue, in the fatty tissue, in your body. So then you begin to withdraw from food, and the first thing is the body begins to turn on itself. Well, what is it going to eat? The stuff that's pocketed up. Why do you think, you know, I've been on that LSD, and the other day I was fasting. I've been fasting for 2 or 3 days, and all of a sudden I had a hallucination. My wife, I thought she was ugly, but she was really ugly. I tell you what, folks, I've been here more than a year, and if you ain't had a good time yet, I don't know about you. Anyhow, what happens is the body begins to release these things that are pocketed up, that are stored up. And so I tell people, try if you can. It'll make it easier on you. And we're not even talking about drugs. We're talking about Coca-Cola, Pepsi, caffeine, coffee. I never did drink coffee. I never could stand it. I liked the smell of it, but I never could stand to drink it. All my family, I never did drink it, so I didn't have that, but the Coca-Cola is made up. So anyhow, I tell them, you know, try to do some salads and stuff for a few days before. It'll just make it easier on you. But then whenever you get into this, you have about a 2 or 3 day fast, and all of a sudden you have a severe headache that you can't get over. Remember this, it's not from the lack of food. It's because of the toxins that are in your body, and your body is starting the cleaning up process. It's starting the purging process in the natural. Now, the reason I'm going over this natural today is so some of you can go ahead and get started. You won't have to wait on that, and then we can go into the spiritual as we go along and establish why you should be fasting anyhow, which is part of what we've done today already in Isaiah. But you can go ahead and start. And so let's say you just want to go a couple days on, a couple days off. That's fine. Just try in between there to keep it to solid the best that you can. Well, Pastor, what if I want to go longer, but yet I want to go juices? Okay, that's fine. Start out on juices. Drink as many juices as you want. Don't eat anything. And eventually go over onto water as soon as you can. If you don't do it that time, you have to stop and start again. There's no condemnation. You just pick up and go again. You start fasting, your husband gets a phone call that somebody demolished the Sonic. Don't worry about it. They can rebuild it. You say, well, what do I do? You just start fasting again the next day. You said, Father, forgive me for giving in, not having self-control. And so therefore, I want to start again. So the next day, you start again. You don't take any condemnation. I've seen people put themselves in bondage over this and that, especially for some reason in the area of fasting. They'll put themselves in bondage. There's no need in it. Okay, well, I was fasting. I've been fasting for 5 days, and I drank a Coke. Big deal. You're going to let the devil take you out of something because you drank a Coke? Boy, you can be taken out easy. He really has got your number, doesn't he? He won't take me out because I slipped and drank a Coke when I was fasting. I'll go right on with the fast, nail his head to the wall. Don't let false teachings and things that you've heard in the past put you under condemnation. You pick up and you go again. What do you teach new believers to do if they get born again and then they end up the next day cussing or something like that? What do you teach them to do? Do you beat them over the head and say, well, you can't be saved anymore because you let that cuss word slip? No, you teach them about righteousness and about what they are in Christ, and you say, just ask forgiveness and get up and go again. Well, it's the same way with fasting. You get up and you go again. So you don't make, I set aside 10 days and I blew it. I made it only one day. As far as I could go. You get up and you go again. Don't let the devil cheat you out of a powerful tool in the Word of God through condemnation. Don't do it. And our bodies are a mess. So there's several things that we can do. You want to start out doing some fasting, long ones or short ones? I don't care. These rules all apply. Same. Try your best to start drinking water that is, let's say, a quart of water mixed with a little bit of lemon juice and a little bit of honey. the honey provides some energy. The lemon juice is a detoxifier. And it's good to drink all of that you can. More than enough. And whatever you do, don't fast without drinking a lot of water. You've got to keep that sewer flushed out. Isn't that right, David? All right, now let's talk about the E word, David. Talk about the E word called enema, David. If you want to die, go ahead. Don't ask me to come preach your funeral out of ignorance. People think, well, I can fast without an enema long. You know, well, you can, but you stand more of a chance because your body's in such bad shape. Now, after you've done several, you wouldn't stand near that chance. But to begin with, you're in such bad shape that if you don't get your system flushed out any way you can, you stand a chance of getting sick along the way, and then you get stopped in what you're doing that was offering yourself over to God, the devil won. So I'll tell people, you know, take at least one enema a day, and we'll use coffee. Coffee, I don't know why, but it's proven, it's in several writings and books, that coffee is proven to clean, to cleanse, and an enema, it cleanses the colon and causes, see, all of the toxins, most of them, will lodge up in your colon. That's why there's a lot of colon cancer and so forth, because the junk, you know, ends up in your colon and goes in layers in there, and you know, we could go into all that. I'm not going to go into all that. Read some materials and we'll find it. But this coffee goes in there and it begins to release the toxin in your colon. And when you use it as an enema, then it flushes things out. And if you'll do that at least once a day when you're fasting, especially on like a more than 3-day fast. But really, you should do it even on 3 days. It'll begin to cleanse out that colon and you won't feel near as sick. You won't have near the headache. You say, why, is that coffee giving me a high? No, it's cleaning out those toxins that are collecting up and causing you to get sick. Now, I'm just giving you some things. You don't have to use them. You say, well, I don't know whether I trust you or not. I'm not a doctor. All I've got is I started fasting a month after I got born again. That was in 1985. So I don't know how many years. This is 2000. 15 years. That's all I've got. I don't have no degree. I don't have no papers. I'm not a doctor. If you're, you know, on medication of some kind, go and visit with your doctor. I'm just telling mine I'm going to do it because I think I know what to do. You know, I'm taking loads of vitamins because of rebuilding some peripheral nerves. I'm taking loads of vitamins. A few other things. It's not going to stop. I'm not going to let that be an excuse in my life. There's more at stake here in this church and in the world than excuses. I'm not going to let excuses take me out of it. So these are just things that you can use to make it easy. Well, I don't see where Jesus used the coffee. Jesus had a different diet than you and I got right now for one. Different culture, different diet back then. And all of it is not very explicit in the Word of God. It appears that when he came out of that fast, he was hungry, so we know he got without food. But it doesn't say he was thirsty. So I assume that he had water. That would be a fair assumption. But there's just things here that are proven that can help make your life easier when you're doing this because, after all, once again, we're applying a natural thing in the natural, but it has spiritual results. We're after the spiritual results is what we're after. So if you just start out a little bit at a time, a couple days at a time. My wife has been doing for a while now, 5 days, 5 days in a week, once a month. And so you can start out anywhere to start. That's the key word, is to start. And so, you know, you use these enemas that'll clean out these toxins. And, well, I don't like to do that. Well, okay, Okay. Do without it. Just drink lots of water. Just pump the water down. It'll flush you out some too, you know. Then when you get sick and in trouble, you get a hold of me on the cell phone. You know, you need me to come to the hospital and pray for you. Somebody will know where to come. I'll come and pray for you. Have a talk with you about it. So you can go back to fasting and not be beat out with it. What if I want to juice fast? That's okay. It's okay. I would try to get off on water as soon as I could, but it's okay. It's all right. I don't have any problem with that. Just start, folks. Just start. It's like talking about prayer. Just start. Just start. How about 15 minutes a day praying another time? Just start. God will take you to the rest of the way. But you've got to give him the authority to do it. If you don't give him that authority, he can't do it. It's all depending on your will. What is your will? What decision are you going to make about it? Are you going to decide to change yourself so you can change your family unit? Are you going to get your family unit in order through prayer and fasting? Or are you going to let it be the same as it has been the last 10 years? What are you going to do? I don't. Nobody said it was. You have the power to change. You have the authority to give to God. You give him the authority, he gives back his power. My wife dictates my mind. She says, we're not going to church, and we're not going to church. Well, okay, in the next year, I'll have a passing view. And let me tell you something, though, ahead of time, whenever you stand before Jesus, he won't let her stand beside you. You won't have her as an excuse, or him as an excuse. Well, I can't spend as much time. My relationship with God depends on my husband. Not. Won't fly. But I'm not going to control your life. Hey, if that's what you want to use as an excuse, go ahead. You say, well, I don't want to change. Well, that's fine too. Don't change. I'm not going to control your life. I can't control it anyhow. All I can do is lay out the truth and the things that are in the Word of God that you can use to change your situation if you want to change it. So that's what this fasting series about in January is, that we can start to apply another principle, just like we've been talking about prayer and worship and changing your image. It's one more thing, meditating the Word of God, one more thing, fasting in the Word of God that will lead you out of where you're at into something else. Could you stand with me? So we just, you know, we just take things in the Word of God and we either choose to do them and change our life or we don't. And some said, I got tickled because some said, I can confess my way into the anointing. I don't have to fast. I don't care if Charlie Rogers does get up there and rip us apart concerning fasting. I don't have to fast. I can confess my way into the anointing. They could not. They didn't. Now they're fasting. Are you gloating? A little bit. A little bit. I still got to die in some areas. That's what we're talking about. Death to the flesh. That you hide not yourself from your flesh. That you hide not yourself from your life. That God can take that authority that you chose to give him and change things in your life. No more do I have an excuse not to pray. I don't care if I do work a full-time job. There's a room there somewhere. I'll turn the TV off. I'll send everybody to bed where I can have a couple hours each night. They can't get up and come in the living room and bother me because I'm going to be in prayer for 2 hours. We've done that for quite some time. I let everybody do what they want, watch the TV, do the movies, stuff like that, whatever they want. And come a certain time, usually 10:30 or 11, I say, okay, my deal. You had your deal, now it's my deal. I would pray until I couldn't pray no more, or fall asleep, whatever. Time to go to work. I'm not telling you folks something to do, and I'm not applying myself. You know me. Most of you know me well enough by now to know that I wouldn't do this. I'm not going to do this. I have to stand before God. Lift your hands. Begin to worship him.